All right, let's take our Bibles tonight and turn to the book of Genesis, chapter 32. Genesis, chapter 32, for the message tonight. Genesis, chapter 32. The Hills have a table in the back, and I hope you'll stop by and get their prayer card and put it where you'll remember to pray for them. More than they need anything, they need prayer support. And just ask you to pray for them on a regular basis and pray the Lord will meet their needs and bless them and help them and encourage them and as they serve as field director for the ministry down there. I think we have a couple of missionaries that are with your board. No, we don't? How do I know that board so well then?
Well, there's a landmark group down in Florida, but that's not part
no,
of it.
No, I know the difference, yeah. I don't know. But I know them from somewhere, but... I got several. Lord's called them into the ministry. It's just a matter of getting them to you. So we'll work on that. All right, let's begin reading, please, in verse 22. Verse 22. And this is an amazing chapter, just absolutely amazing what goes on in this chapter, and especially the story I want to read to you tonight. Just so you're familiar with what's about to happen here, Jacob has decided to take his family home. He has been in Haran for all these years. He's got two wives, you remember. He's got two wives, and then he's got two concubines that he is having children with. And now he's got a whole house full of kids. And not only that, but God has blessed him financially, and he has a huge amount of herds. His sheep are just innumerable. And so he comes back to the land of Canaan, and he's got his children, he's got his wives, he's got his servants, he's got you name it, he's got it. I mean, there it looks like a mob coming across the desert. And God has just blessed him so much. And the plan is when he gets back home, he is to meet with his brother Esau. Now you remember Esau was his twin brother, and he cheated Esau out of his birthright and cheated him out of his blessing. And Esau is this big tough guy. He's a hunter. He's a woodsman. He is strong and ruddy. He's just not to be messed with. And Jacob is a little concerned about what kind of a meeting they're going to have. And so that's where we pick it up in verse 22. As Jacob and all his crew are coming back, it says, "And he rose up that night and took his two wives and his two women servants and his 11 sons and passed over the ford Jabbok. And he took them and sent them over the brook and sent over that he had." All right, now let me interpret that for you. What happened was when they got where they were going to stay for the night, he took his family and he sent them across the creek, okay? He wanted them to go on the other side and set up camp and wait, and he was going to stay on this side, and his intent, no doubt, was to spend the night talking with God and begging God and pleading with God for this to be a good reunion between him and his brother. I mean, for all he knew, Esau was going to be holding a grudge and was going to beat the tar out of him and leave him laying for dead. So he didn't know what was going to happen. So he sent a family on across the creek, and they set up camp over against the way, and Jacob stayed alone by himself. Okay, so look at verse 24. It says, "And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh." So when this man that we read about in verse 24 saw that Jacob was not going to quit, that's basically what he's saying. Jacob is not going to quit. Jacob is just going to wrestle. He wants God's blessing. He wants God's hand on him, and he is not about to turn this divine being loose until he gets a promise of a blessing. So he wrestled with him through the night. And when he, the angel of the Lord, verse 25, when he, the angel of the Lord, saw that he, the angel of the Lord, prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. Now, you folks know that if you get your hip dislocated, your wrestling career is over, right? I mean, you can't push off, you can't get leverage, you're done, all right? So when the angel of the Lord saw that Jacob was not going to quit, he reached out and touched the hollow of his leg, of his thigh, and his hip came out of joint, and he wrestled with him. And he said, "Let me go, for the day breaketh." And he said, "I will not let thee go except thou bless me." All right? So when the day broke, when the sun started up, the angel said, "All right, we're done. Let me go. Let me go." And Jacob said, "Nope, I am not going to let you go until you bless me." And he said unto him, verse 27, "What is thy name?" So the angel said to Jacob, "What is thy name?" And he said, "Jacob." Now, you know what Jacob means, right? It means trickster. It means jokester. It means supplanter, teaser. All right? And he said, "My name is Jacob." And he, the angel of the Lord, said, "No, no, no. Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel." And Israel means prince with God. He said, "No more thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel, for as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast," what's the next word? Prevailed. Right there's the key, folks. Prevail. Hey, look at me. Don't quit. Prevail. Don't give up on the Lord. Prevail. You say, "But Pastor, I've been praying for this situation or this person or my husband or my children." Yep, I know, but don't quit now. You just don't quit. You prevail. You just keep on keeping on and don't quit. And that's what we learn here with this story. Jacob could have easily said, "I'm tired, I quit." Jacob could have easily said, "Look, my brother and I are going to hook up in the morning and I got to get some rest." But he didn't say any of that. He just stayed with it. And he kept on and would not turn this divine being loose until that divine being blessed him and gave him what he wanted and what he needed. And folks, that's got to be the key to us getting strong and growing and maturing in the Christian life. Just don't quit. All right, let's pray real quick, and then we'll look at Jacob's wrestling match. Let's pray. Father, thank you now for this passage. Thank you for the Word of God. And I pray you'll bless this to our hearts tonight. Give us, I pray, ears to hear. May we hear what is the message from the Lord tonight. And Father, I just pray that every one of us will be moved and stirred to greater heights of faithfulness because of this story being in the Bible and what Jacob did here. So Lord, give us, I pray, a good evening. May the Lord be honored in what I'm about to say. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. All right, just so you get the timing of all this, many, many years have passed since that day when Jacob took what he could throw on his back and set out at the behest of his mother. Remember, his mother said, "You better get out of here. Your brother's going to kill you." And so he packed what he could, threw it on his back, and took off. And he went to Haran, up on the Euphrates River area, the Tigris area, and stayed with his grandparents. Now, you remember he made one day's journey out of town and landed in Bethel. And Bethel means the house of God. Beth is house, El is God, Bethel, the house of God. And when he was in Bethel, you remember, he had a dream. And he saw this ladder coming down out of heaven and the angels of God ascending and descending upon that ladder. Well, that was many, many years prior to what happened right here on this night. When Jacob comes back from Haran, he is no longer a solitary man. He is accompanied by a huge family and servants and workers who tend and take care of the flocks that God had blessed him with. Oh, the Lord had been so good to Jacob and had blessed him beyond measure. And now in our text, Jacob is marching back to Canaan to the familiar scenes of his youth to meet his brother, the man that he cheated and robbed out of the family blessing and birthright. Now, as you read the story, you quickly learn, and I didn't go back and read all this for the sake of time, but when you read the story, you see that Jacob was greatly concerned about meeting his brother Esau. What kind of a welcome would he get after all of these years? Will Esau have calmed down? He didn't know. Would time have eased the anger that was in his brother's heart? And would his brother forgive and maybe even forget what Jacob had done to him? And would all those turbulent years that they had as children and teenagers growing up, would Esau be able to put all that behind him and have an amiable meeting on the next day? Well, Jacob didn't know the answer to those questions. So he is burdened. He is concerned. And Jacob does, if you read earlier in the chapter, you will see that Jacob does what he can to soften his brother's temperament. He sends gifts and overtures of his desire for a good result. On the next day, he sends messages wanting his brother to receive him and receive him well, all designed to soften Esau's heart. And that evening, as he watches the sun go down, he realizes that the next morning when the sun comes up, he is going to have to meet Esau face to face. But as the night falls, Jacob has a strange encounter. There in the darkness approaches a man. And I'm sure that Jacob wondered, what in the world is this guy doing? Why is this fella coming towards me? And then all of a sudden, Jacob realizes this is not just some ordinary man. This is the angel of the Lord. He was familiar with the angel of the Lord. He had had run-ins with the angel of the Lord before. And so when he saw this man, all of a sudden this fella grabs a hold of him and the wrestling match starts. When the morning sun begins to rise. Now notice the way this is worded. We have nothing about the 8 hours or 12 hours of the night. We really have nothing about it. All we're told is that when the sun went down, that a man came and they got into a wrestling match. That's all it says. And it goes all the way through the night without any details. But then the next morning, as the day was breaking, the angel saw that he could not prevail, or that he did not prevail, and he told Jacob, "Let me go, let me go." And Jacob said, no, and he grabbed a hold and held on for dear life and said, "I will not let you go until you bless me." And the angel of the Lord saw then Jacob's heart. And it was then that the angel of the Lord touched his thigh, knocked it out of socket, and gave Jacob what he wanted. He changed his name from Jacob the trickster to Israel, Prince with God. And he taught Jacob that his own plans and his own schemes were of no avail to God. He had learned through the hours of that long night that trust in self never avails, and that we must depend upon the strong arm of the Lord for every need that we have. When the strong arm of the Lord reached out and touched him, he was more than a conqueror in defeat. Yes. And that's what we need to learn from this story. He told the Lord, "I will not let you go until you bless me." I wonder how many of us have ever had that kind of a burden for a prayer request that we've had. "I will not let you go until you bless me." And Jacob yielded himself up to him who had overcome him in an obedience that was far greater than anything he had ever known before. And Jacob became the servant of God, of the God of Bethel. He was no longer either in name or in temperament Jacob the supplanter, but was now Israel the prince with God. Wow, what an amazing story this is. Now, there for the sake of time, there are only two things I want you to see. Number one, I want you to notice the reserve strength of heaven. The reserve strength of heaven. Folks, this was a strange event, to be sure. I mean, this was a strange event. This wrestling match between Jacob and the angel of the Lord lasted all through the night. And I think the reason that it lasted all through the night was because the match went back and forth. First, Jacob would prevail. And then the angel would prevail. And when it seemed like the angel was going to win, all of a sudden he would back it off a little bit and Jacob would start to win. And it just went back and forth all through the night. And there were moments when it looked like it was over, but one would then become dominant over the other. Can you see it now in your mind's eye? Had you been a witness that night, you would have seen the match turn to Jacob's favor, and then it would appear that he would win, but then suddenly the match would turn, and Jacob would look all but beaten. And the point to note is that all through this long struggle, the angel of the Lord had great and mighty powers in reserve. You see, he had to only touch the thigh of Jacob with his finger. Think about that. Think about it. Don't you wish you were that strong? All he had to do was touch the thigh of Jacob with his finger, and the power of that brave wrestler was gone. And notice, folks, the angel of the Lord did not use these powers in the long, dreary night. No, he did not call upon them, and he did not use them until the sun was coming up the next morning. And the point is, they were there. He had the power all along. He could have used that power anytime he chose to use it. He certainly had more than enough strength to stop Jacob dead in his tracks at any point of the night. But he did not use his strength until he chose to use it. My friend, listen, when you're praying about an issue, when you are burdened about a problem, when something arises and you take it to the Lord, and then you say, well, I'm not getting any answer. Maybe you need to just grab hold and hang on and say, Lord, I'm not turning you loose until you bless me. And just let the Lord show you that he's got strength beyond measure in reserve. There is nothing too hard for the Lord, folks. And we just have to trust that God will give us his strength when we need it. I mean, do you remember, Matthew 26, when Judas led that mob of Pharisees and the temple guard to the Garden of Gethsemane to arrest the Lord Jesus Christ. And Matthew tells us that when they came up and Judas kissed the Lord Jesus on the cheek to identify to the soldiers which one to arrest, that all of a sudden Peter reached out and grabbed a sword and he swung the sword and, you remember, tried to divide Malchus, one of the servants of the high priest. He tried to divide Malchus into two equal parts. You remember that? Folks, listen, make no mistake about it. Peter was trying to kill Malchus to protect Jesus. Okay? And the only thing that, I mean, it was just divine intervention. When he swung that sword trying to take Malchus's head off, Malchus just bent enough to where the sword came and just clipped off his ear. And the Lord Jesus, being the Lord Jesus, reached down and grabbed that ear and put it back on Malchus's head as if nothing had happened. And do you remember what Jesus said? He told Peter and everybody else there, he said, put the sword back in the sheath. If you live by the sword, you will die by the sword. And then he said this, do you not think that I could call to my Father which is in heaven and he would not send me 12 legions of angels? Do you think? Folks, let me tell you something. Every angel in heaven was on alert that day, that night. And all that Jesus had to do was look at one of them and nod his head, and boom, every angel in heaven would have come out and wiped out that whole crowd. Do you not know that I have reserved power? Do you not know that I could have called my Father and he would have sent the angels to protect me? The point is, folks, all the reserve strength of heaven was his, but he did not use it. You say, but Pastor, those men prevailed over him. Oh, I think not, dear friend. They did not prevail over him. He yielded to death. He said, you'll not take my life unless I give it up. And I'm telling you, they did not prevail because unlike everybody else who has ever died, when our Savior died of his own will, he then was resurrected 3 days later, and he's alive today. So don't tell me that he was defeated. No, sir. That reserve power from heaven kicked in, and he arose triumphantly over the grave. And my dear friend, I'm just saying to you that you've got a God that sits on the throne, and he has an advocate, his son, at the right hand of that throne. And he says to you and to me that who know him, that we are to come boldly before the throne of grace. And there is not anything that the Father will not give us if we bring our prayers to him in faith, believing, and trust him for the answers. God has reserved power. Second thing I want you to see, I want you to notice, secondly, how one touch, just one touch, will expose the Lord. Man, when he touched his thigh, that was it. Jacob knew right there that he had got what he wanted. He knew. Jacob was thinking of Esau when suddenly this stranger showed up and gripped him. Do you think maybe Jacob might have been thinking, "Wow, did Esau send this fellow, this man, to whip me for what I did to him all those years ago? Did Esau send him?" I wonder if it maybe flashed through his mind that whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Well, it didn't take him long to figure out that this was not just some man. This was the Lord. Imagine it, folks. For hours, this match went on. And then through one touch, Jacob fully understood and learned that his opponent that night was divine. It was the Lord himself, pre-incarnate Lord Jesus Christ. Back many years ago, an artist by the name of Doré painted this scene on canvas from Genesis 32. And in his portrayal, and I remember it because I remember shaking my head when I saw it. In his portrayal, he put wings on this man. I don't think this man had wings on his back. I just don't think he did. I just don't think that's the way it happened. And folks, listen, when we are wrestling with the Lord over a matter, when the finger of God touches us and we figure out that it's the Lord that is doing the work, and then as the sun begins to peek its way up on the eastern sky, and we're tired from the struggle, we need to do what Jacob did, grab a hold of the horns of the altar and hang on and say to God, "I'll not let you go until you bless me." And at that point, the angel reached out and knocked Jacob's hip out of joint. And I'm telling you, folks, when that happened, Jacob knew that he was touched by God Almighty. There was no doubt about it. He knew who had touched him. And my friend, you will too when God answers. When God steps in and gives you the answer, you'll know. You'll know. Number three, I said two. I'm going to give you the third one real quick. Number three, I want you to notice there are defeats that are really victories. Now, old Jacob got whooped here, but I'm telling you, it was a victory. It was a victory. You look at verse 25 and 26, you see something very interesting. When the morning broke, Jacob was defeated. He could not wrestle any longer. He was done. In verse 25, his thigh had been knocked out of joint. He could not get position. He could not get any leverage. He only had one leg. He couldn't get any strength. He only had one leg in which to try and gain an advantage. So Jacob did the only thing that a desperate man could do, and that is he hung on. You see the picture, Christian? You say, oh, Pastor, I just don't know what to do. Hang on. Hang on. Oh, my, don't get weary in well doing. Don't struggle. Don't struggle. You just hang on. You say, Pastor, I can't walk. Hang on. You can hang on. You can trust. You see, his clinging to the angel of the Lord was more victorious than his wrestling had been. For it was then that he became a prince and had prevailed. He had wrestled all night. And when touched on the thigh, he was defeated. But in his defeat, he experienced true victory. Now, folks, as Jacob, we need to just trust in the Lord. You see, Jacob lost the wrestling match, but he won in that he just would not stop. And Christian, I'm telling you, just don't quit on the Lord. He would not give up. Even though he was beaten and he knew he was beaten, he would not quit. Look real carefully there at verse 27. In verse 27, the Lord asked him, "What is thy name?" Hey, folks, look at me. I'm telling you, the angel of the Lord knew Jacob's name. What is thy name? You say, well, then why did he ask him that? Because he wanted Jacob to say his name. He wanted Jacob to say his name. He wanted Jacob to know who he was. And when he surrendered and submitted to the Lord, that was in reality when he won and became the victor. Now, let me tell you something. As Jacob, we face the unknown challenges of tomorrow. We don't know what another day one might bring forth. Just like Jacob, he had no idea how things would go on the next day with Esau. And we have no idea what tomorrow holds for us. But the challenge for us is to grab on to the Lord, hang on, and not turn him loose. You don't let anything get you away from the Lord. We ought to say, okay, Lord, I will not let you go. I'm hanging on. I'm not going to turn you loose. I'm just going to hang on until you bless me. And that's what Jacob did. And the Lord blessed him. You see, he just wouldn't quit. He was beaten and he knew it, but he wouldn't quit. He wrestled all night long. And the angel of the Lord reached over and touched his thigh, and now Jacob is crippled, and so he did the only thing he could do. He just grabbed the angel of the Lord, and he hung on. And Christian, would you grab a hold of the Lord and just hang on? Would you do that? I remember, I think I probably told you all this, but in the first church that Karen and I pastored down in West Virginia, down in the mountains, down in no man's land, West Virginia. We went down and started our first little church, and I could not wait for Sunday to come. I just absolutely could not wait for Sunday to come, and I would go in and take my. I took all these speech classes when I was in college. Now, don't look so shocked, but I did, and I took all these classes that taught you how to prepare expository sermons and the different types of sermons and all that, and so I use primarily the G. Campbell Morgan method of expository preaching when I preach. And so, and I've done that since the beginning. And so, so I would sit down during the week and I would work on those beautiful sermons. I mean, they were perfect. Those things were perfect. And I would go in on Sunday morning and I would preach my sermon and nothing. I mean, nothing. Folks would just sit there and nothing. I would look over and folks would be sitting out there sleeping. I said, good grief, what's wrong with you people? This is so good. This is so clear. What's wrong with you folks? And they just all sitting there looking at me, and about 10 minutes into it, bang, they're all out asleep. We had this one guy in our church, his name was Bill Bennett. And Bill had a great big long neck. Neck was about that long. Little tiny neck. And he had a great big bean on top of it. And he would sit there and start nodding off, and his head would snap back and forth like this. And people behind him were laughing. And I see everything when I'm up here. I don't know, y'all realize that, right? And I'm looking back, and I'm seeing people are laughing at Bill, and his little head's just bobbing up and down. And I'm sitting there going, oh, man, if he doesn't stop that, he's going to snap that head right off his shoulders. It's going to be front page of the newspaper tomorrow. Baptist preacher bores man to death in his church. I could see it now. Headlines the next day. And I would go home, and I mean, nothing. Nobody come forward. Nobody do anything. Nobody get excited. Nobody did anything. And I would go home, and I would be so burdened and so broken. And then I would start working on the next King George Royal Sermon. I mean, 3 points, the alliteration outline, and the A and the B under that, and a 1 and 2 under the A and the B, and the illustrations just all perfect. And then I would go in the next Sunday, and it's the same old thing all over again. And I started getting burdened. I started getting broken. And I would take those sermons and go up on the mountain behind our house. And there was an oak tree, a white oak tree, about 3/4 of the way up that mountain. I couldn't do that today, but I could do it then. And I would climb up that mountain, and there was a white oak tree that went up like this and then went this way and then up. And so it made a natural pulpit, and I would stand there and practice that sermon. I mean, preaching to the squirrels and to the raccoons and to the deer. I mean, preaching my heart out up on top of that mountain. Nobody could hear me except for the Lord. And he was highly entertained, I can assure you that. And I'm standing up there preaching, and I would mark on my, get loud right here, lift your hand right here, shout right here. Man, I mean, and then I'd go in and preach the sermon and do it exactly like I'd done it on the mountain. Nothing. Nothing. And I got burdened. And I got to the place where I couldn't sleep. And I got to the place where all I could think about was, I need the power of God. I need God to bless. There are people coming, sitting, and they're not getting what I'm saying. There are unsaved people coming in this door, and they don't hear what I'm saying. God, you've got to do something. And I got burdened over the condition of my heart and the condition of my church. And I prayed 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 and I fasted and I prayed and I fasted and I prayed. And one Saturday night, about 4 o'clock in the morning, all of a sudden a peace came over me, and I went to bed and I slept like a baby, got up, went in that morning, and I sat right over here and I thought, hurry up and get the singing over with. I want to preach. Hurry up and get it done. Somebody get out of the way. I'm about to explode here. And man, when it got my turn, I jumped up and something snapped on the inside as I made my way to the pulpit. And I got up that morning and I said, open your Bibles, please. And everybody went. And you know, Bill Bennett didn't sleep that morning. He said, preacher, what happened to you? I tell you what happened. I prevailed. I had a burden. I had a need. And I grabbed hold and I said, Lord, I'm not going to turn loose until you bless me. And boy, that morning, everybody but two came forward. And folks came to get baptized. Folks came to join the church. Folks came to get saved. It was amazing. And that little church took off. That little church took off. And folks, I'm telling you, that's what is needed. What's the burden on your heart tonight? All right? What's the burden? Is it a loved one? Is it your children? Is it a neighbor? Is it a job? What is it? What is the burden on your heart tonight? Well, I'm telling you, there's answers. And it begins with just telling the Lord, hanging on, and don't get weary in well-doing. Let's do a little prevailing and see what God can do.